right, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Maggie O'Brien's here. Eddie McVeigh here from Maggie O'Brien's. Joey Zanaboni, our own broadcaster here from St. Louis City. Welcome here to Maggie's. We do this show every game, home game, about 30 minutes after the final whistle. But today we're doing it on Halloween, which is a Tuesday. The game was on Sunday. The reason we did that was we had such a late start on that and terrible weather. It was a 9 o'clock game. We just figured so that, we could actually sit here and talk and not fall asleep in a chair or whatever.
Well, and kill some time before we go trick or treating. Let's face it, Eddie.
Right. I'm an old trick or treater from way back. I'll be honest with you. Joe, how
still
are you?
Showing up on people's doorsteps. Huh?
I do. I show up. How are you? Shrek. They call me Shrek. I don't even have to get dressed. They just say Shrek came to the front door.
Just paint you green and push you out in the world there,
right,
huh,
right.
Eddie?
How are you, Joe?
You know, Eddie, all in all, I'm doing really well. Of course, Sunday night here at City Park, not the result we wanted, but once again, seeing the passion of these fans in the freezing rain, that was inspiring to me on many levels. And I'm really thankful to have the continued interest here in and around the stadium and to join you once again at Maggie O's on Market Street.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that, man. I'm gonna throw out a few concerns, Joe, and I don't think you're going to like them, but I got a few concerns. Now, that being said, you know, there's nobody here in St. Louis that roots harder for or wants St. Louis City to win. I think what they've done across the street with not just this team, but that facility is absolutely second to none. If you have not been there yet, do yourself a favor and find a way to get into that place because they killed it. That being said, a couple things. One, first off, before I get into my concerns on the team, if anybody didn't watch or didn't know that the three people that might be watching us right now, you on Sunday night, it was probably 39 to 40 degrees with a very brisk wind, and it was a complete downpour the whole time. So that was what both teams had to play with. And like I told Joey, hey, you know, my dad one time said to me in a CYC game when I was complaining about the field, he said, what was wrong with the field? I said, the field was bumpy. He said, I'll be damned. He said, were both teams playing on that field? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, don't worry about the field. So I'm not blaming our loss that night on Sunday on the conditions. But did you see a difference in any kind of overall play, Joe, in the way that the weather affected the game?
I mean, it was tough, and you're exactly right. Both teams had to play in it, and I thought that City's execution was not at the level of Sporting, and I thought at times the intensity level was maybe not at the level of Sporting. Obviously, it was a 4-1 result, but I think the team learned that last valuable lesson that it needed before the season becomes do or die for everybody, and that's that there can be no more not winning when there are off performances. And sometimes you can have an off performance and still find a way to win the ball game. And that's what has to happen. I was reading just this weekend, 57th anniversary of the Keystone being placed into the Gateway Arch here in St. Louis, a monument to what we've built here in the Midwest. And I thought there's a Keystone that could be inserted for St. Louis City SC, the first ever MLS expansion team to win 5 in a row to start the season and win 5 in a row to close the season and hoist the MLS Cup.
And if that happens, we will be having strippers here at Maggie O'Brien's. They will keep their clothes on except for me.
I don't know how I feel here, Eddie, but I can tell you I feel really good with this salmon and rice pilaf.
Salmon and rice pilaf. Now, I used to be with the Chunkendales. We were just like the Chippendales, but we're different. But if you guys want to come check it out, we just need 5 victories in a row. All right, let's talk about some issues I have. These are mine.
Well,
not
listen,
saying, not
Eddie,
saying that I,
you're talking about personal issues here. What are you talking about?
I have plenty of personal issues, but for the soccer game on Sunday night, it's a few things that jumped out to me, scare me a little bit, but okay. I'm not saying
it
is Halloween. 50-50 balls. I think we were, I don't know this for sure, but I think we were second or third in the whole league in 50-50 balls this year. We got completely dominated on 50-50 balls. Did you notice that? Did you feel like it changed anything? Did that stand out to you? Because it stood out to me.
I just did the guy sitting there watching the game.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been the signature of the St. Louis City SC team that won 17 games, that won the Western Conference the whole season, and getting first to the ball and winning tackles, that just was not happening on Sunday night.
Which we've done all year.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really been such a consistent performance. But I will say this. There have been peaks and troughs. There always are for these teams and every team, whether it's St. Louis, whether it's Sporting KC, whether it's any team you take out of the MLS, these are momentum teams. And with St. Louis City, like all other teams, you know, there would be a trough of a few games where the team didn't have quite the same inspiration. And maybe there's a draw in there, and maybe there's a couple of losses, or in this case, there's a few losses in a row. But always the team has found a way to limit those streaks and those little smears where things get bad. And then the peaks have been so high. And when this team has gone on a run, as it did to win five in a row to start this season, and four in a row in late June into July, the amount of results you can get in a row and the places you can go can be really, really special, really, really quick.
Next issue for me is, listen, I know that the powers to be know way more about soccer or football, if you will, or wherever they're from, than I do. But I don't like the idea of us changing our look or our procedure when we won. I want to say we, of the three games this year that we won against Sporting KC, 4-0 and 4-1, we played a 4-4-2. And out of nowhere, we come out with just Klaus at top. I'm not saying, I don't know all the particulars, but all I'm saying to that is if that's me and I'm KC, to me, that makes me think we're in their head for free. We're living in their head rent free because they're adjusting what they're doing for no reason. Now, well, I'm not saying that they don't.
I'd love to answer your question, Eddie, but to be honest with you, the question of what's going through KC's mind has never occurred to me. I'm not even thinking along those lines. And I think St. Louis City SC, ultimately, the team.
But you get what I'm saying. It can affect them to go.
I can understand.
They're adjusting what they did when we went two out of three. And
I can understand your window, but you'll have to hire Dale Shilley if you're looking for a diagram.
And I get that.
Schematics.
Above my right.
I mean, listen, Eddie, I get whatever money I get because I'm liable to rip off an exploding like a flatulent customer and a flatulent extra in the Oppenheimer movie.
That's
the kind of guy I am. But I mean, at the end.
But
of the
do you
day,
understand my concern a little bit that we adjusted something that?
Well, at the end of the day, if it gives you comfort, Carnello's rotated the lineup all the time
that's
in the quote unquote must win games of the regular season and throughout the year, he's always had a rotational lineup with plenty of new characters every single night. I believe it was either 32 or 33 out of the 34 MLS games where St. Louis City SC had a different lineup. So things are always turning. He's someone who has disrupted conventional thinking in the MLS. The Western Conference is known as a very ball possession oriented conference. He's come in and he's played this style that gets onto other people's property and takes it away from them and then capitalizes on the opportunity. And you just have to love that ingenuity, and I'm sure he's got something cooked up for Sunday.
And I'm rooting. Nobody's rooting harder for me, but I got to touch on what you just said. I have my third concern that I'm shutting up, and all you're going to get is positivity from Eddie McVay.
And Bryce Pilaf.
And you're listening to Eddie McVay here at Maggie O'Brien's with my good buddy Joey Zanaboni, my buddy Jack Milliken behind the cameras working the ones and the twos. We got Maggie O'Brien's here downtown, 2000 and Market Street, right across from your very own St. Louis City Stadium. And then we have one out in Sunset Hills right off of 44 in Limerick. Please come see us before and after any home games, whether it be Blues, Cardinals, St. Louis City, or all concerts, anything going on. Come on down, lunch, dinner. We'd love to have you. Please come see us. Well, I agree. That the one good thing we've had this entire year, I will tell you, is the fact that it's been the next guy up. And we've seen that when Klaus went out, the ability of the next guy stepping in the lineup. Do you by chance foresee them doing any kind of lineup changes that you're just thinking? I'm not saying you're hearing anything through the grapevine.
Well, hey, 33 out of 34 times, you'd be correct if you said that Carnell made at least one lineup adjustment for the next game. So money is on that as far as just good odds go. But I do want to reinforce this. Despite the weather, despite the quality group of individuals in SKC, that's a lot of talented players on that team. Despite that, I do think that the group that was on the field could have won the game. And for me, you know, you look for the tipping points. Kansas City scores in the 26th minute. City scores in the 28th. Congratulations, by the way, to Tim Parker. It's the first goal he's scored since his son was born in August. So special moment for him. But then immediately, just a few minutes later, KC grabs the controls of the game. And it was clear, I think, early that for that first 25-minute stretch of the game that KC was playing better and that it might be a little bit of an off night for City. But what this team has to recall is you can have an off night and still win the ball game. And they had a chance to do it after a great play by Parker to bust in a good, solid set piece from Indiana Vasilev. Parker stepping into the ball, and the momentum comes back, and the electricity comes back, and there's a 10-minute stretch where I think City was the more quality team, and then it just kind of fell apart. And I think that this team is understanding that because it's continuing to grow, and it's got great vets like Parker and Roman Berkey who have played such high-level soccer for so long that they understand that. And I think that's something that will be rediscovered regardless of whose names are on the starting lineup. And you know, as the announcer for the team, people often will ask, you know, starting lineup, not to say that's what you're doing here, but starting lineup, I say, hey, I get it exactly when everybody else gets it an hour.
I'm just wondering if you're thinking, hey, I could see this happening or that happening.
Yeah.
I get that. The other thing too, my third point that I lost in my head there was that my concern, and like I say, I turn a page on this. I'm not trying to be a bah humbug. I really am not. I do believe we'll go to Kansas City and win this next game. But my other concern was our ability to play with the ball. It's almost like I feel like they want to give us the ball, and in giving us the ball, just see what we can do with it. And yeah. in my very humble opinion, when we have it,
yeah.
unless it's a counterattack, we get that ball and we don't know what we're doing with it.
I'll say this. The team has gotten so much better possessing the ball this season. I've watched every single game that this team has played. I think back to September 16th in Houston when the team put together one of the most beautiful stretches in all of MLS where all 10 outfield players touched the ball, started with a set piece at midfield, 87th minute, down 1-0. And on a shot that was ripped from the top of the box, the goalkeeper paddled the ball, and God bless him, Joao Klaus was waiting right there to hammer it home with the head. Unbelievable moment to salvage a point at a crucial time in the season where Houston was chasing our tail for the Western Conference crown that City eventually won. And I think it just showed the progress of this team. Now, we have to be who we are and be very true to who we are as far as style has gone. You know, I call it Johann Gutenberg mode, Eddie. Printing presses. That's for everybody out there in 1460s Austria, or just in Austria in general, who's with us on the Zoom
and right.
podcast tonight.
All these people out there in Austria.
We've got to print presses like we are in Gutenberg mode, and we've got to go out and pressure them and try to take the ball away on their side of the field deep and then capitalize on the chances. And I think we have guys who can put the ball in the back of the net, go out there and let it fly, because there's always a phrase that I go back to that Carnell told us on Y98 in one of our pregame interviews somewhere in the season. And he said, this ethos for this team, we came into this season free and we're going to leave it free. And that spirit of ingenuity to build something from scratch, from a blank canvas in the MLS, what an incredible journey this team has taken with an incredible gift that was given. They've made so much of it, and I know they want to keep it going.
Absolutely, and it brings me back to a couple points that we've had in previous broadcasts, which essentially means it has always amazed me how it's the next guy up, that sort of a thing, whatever. But, you know, what would St. Louis – I had a couple good friends come in on Sunday night after the game, and they were just fit to be tied. And I told both of them, I said, you know, you two bastards would have been happy as hell if we'd have broke – if we'd have been 500 this year, now all of a sudden we're in the first place and you act like we're the 27 Yankees. I mean, so the expectations are there as far as St. Louis, because St. Louis people know soccer. I mean, it's all there is to it. I mean, they do. And then once they sniff that, hey, we got something here, they're rooting and they're rooting hard, which yeah. is what you want. I mean, you don't want people to go, aw, shucks, who cares? We don't want to be lovable losers.
Well, they've rooted hard even before there was, I mean, even a team. I mean, they've been so great this year with the intensity. And it's that time of the year where true character is revealed for these teams. And I think that's something that I love to see. I love that autumn feeling in St. Louis, whether it's high school playoff soccer, college playoff soccer, or now professional playoff soccer, kicking into action. You finally really get to see what teams are made of.
Joe, how so we lose on Sunday. Obviously, it's a 2 of 3. The goals don't matter. So what's your guys' travel plans as far as – is it a normal travel week?
Yeah,
meaning, do you go out like you normally would for a game the day before, that kind of a thing?
Yeah, going out this weekend to KC and, you know – probably myself personally, because I hate to admit this live on Maggie O'Brien's podcast or any podcast, but I used to live in Kansas City.
Right.
yeah, I know. 4 years. Rockhurst University, home of the world's shortest football field.
Go ahead, Rockhurst.
American
football. My brother-in-law went there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
Mark Espinosa, class of 83 or something like that. I don't know. He went to Rockhurst High School, too. So
Well, Marky Mark. Hopefully you're listening out there in internet radio and television.
Speaking of Kansas City, how funny is this? We did not do this on purpose. Honest to God, that's in my bar.
That Don Dinkins truth.
That is from the 85 World Series, The Call.
And well, the fans weren't very
happy.
That's
an actual eye chart that he signed.
And really?
And that is the actual Todd Worrell catching the ball.
Wow.
And there he is right there at the signing deal, signing the eye chart, laughing. And you know what? Good for Don Dinkins here because what could he do? He laughed.
Sure.
He laughed.
He got it wrong. Yeah.
So yeah.
Well,
yeah,
the fans at
so that's Park. Not, we didn't do that on purpose to Kansas City. Don't be mad at us. You guys,
the fans at City Park are going to want to put the referee from that game on Sunday up there. Well, tempt them like this.
Might be, but I'll tell you this. You got to give them all, the due in the world. Kansas City kicked our ass.
They played well. They
that's
did.
That's all there is to it.
They did play well.
No
yeah.
Excuses. All right. So, so travel will be normal. Then obviously we're looking for a win in Kansas City, this upcoming weekend. And then after that, we come back to St. Louis. So this weekend is going to be a Sunday game.
Sunday, 4:00.
And when we win that one, we come back for a Saturday game here in St. Louis.
We're going to come back for a Saturday game here in St. Louis. That'll be 5 p.m. on Saturday, November 11th. And I think that that would be the wildest atmosphere maybe in the history of St. Louis soccer when you account for all the people who would be in the stadium. And down here at great establishments like Maggie O's on Market Street, I mean, people are going to be flooding these streets for the biggest professional game that's been played here really in the town's history. And this is such a great history that this town has. I mean, my word, what an opportunity to go to Kansas and to prove your character and then come back here and celebrate with the fans.
Can I say, and I say this as a business owner, but I genuinely mean it, because a lot of Kansas City people travel.
Sure.
So they're in here early. And so they were here early and I was here and, they could not be kinder or more appreciative and having a good time and joke and take a good joke and they give it back, but it's all in good fun. And
yeah,
our people there, it was good. So
well,
we do appreciate that, man.
It's a battle sometimes to see who can be the most polite.
Right.
That's
right,
where we're really
well,
competing.
Well, that goes a long
times.
Way from a bar owner. Please be polite. Please be polite. But anyway, thank you. Thank you everybody that comes in and enjoys themselves. Cause man, I'll tell you on those days, this place is a mad house.
Yeah. And I think you can really relate to the people in here, Eddie. I think that I always have a great time and I always feel like I can come in here and be myself.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I know this is the Maggie O'Brien's podcast, but can I go on a little just moment here? Can I have moment here, Eddie?
Do it. Do your
thing. You know, folks, it is Halloween. I'm wearing this I Stand With Ukraine, sweatshirt. Hopefully, producer Jack can get this for you. And, you know, folks, it is Halloween, but this is far from a costume. This is something that, you know, I feel very passionately about. And whether it's October 31st or whatever date, it's always important to support the Ukrainian people. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who's given them support and to continue the cause. It's a long winter ahead in Ukraine and it's a terrible, terrible enemy that they're facing, but freedom and peace will once again, come to that country with our support and our help. So, please do continue to support Ukraine and thank you, Eddie.
Well said, buddy. Well said. Very good. Well, hey, St. Louis, here's where we're at. We know where we're at as far as the restaurant and bar, Maggie O'Brien's, downtown St. Louis, 2000 Market Street, right at 20th and Market Street. And you can come see us in Sunset Hills off of I-44 and Lindbergh. Please come see our two locations. Any game you want to see, we got all the TVs everywhere. We'd love to have you before and after any event or during any event. Please come down and see us. Joe and I do this, obviously I said this a little earlier, but we do it, about 30 minutes after the final whistle at the home games here in St. Louis. The reason we're doing it on Halloween tonight was that game on Sunday was such a late start. That we figured we might want to do this.
It was kind of you, but now this place is filling up for dinner on a Tuesday night. It's a holiday night. People are out having fun.
Right. Yeah. Happy Halloween to all of you. So we're going to root for our St. Louis city and, hope, for the very best. We're going to get a win this weekend. Joe.
Yeah.
We're going to get a win this weekend. And then we're going to have this same show next weekend.
Hey, baby.
Here in St. Louis.
I can't wait. Eddie, can you tell me what are you for Halloween here?
I'm Shrek.
Yeah.
I don't have to put any costumes on or anything.
No makeup, huh?
No makeup. No, this is a natural deal. This whole program is natural. So I'm very easy to find. If you ever come into Maggie O'Brien's, come up and say hi and I'll buy you a beer. I'd love it for you three people out there listening.
Well, I am one of those people. This is going to shock the people out here, but I am one of those people that puts a lot of time preparing their costume. And for me, this is like the Super Bowl, Eddie.
I love
to come on out. And of course, I haven't even revealed what my costume is yet, but can you guess what I am?
I'm going to guess you're going to be a skeleton.
No, I'm a minor concern for a dentist. I'm a minor concern for a dentist. I haven't flossed in 3 months. That's the commitment I've had to this costume, Eddie. So I'm a minor concern. The tartar and plaque is starting to build up.
You should put the minor hat on, and with the beard, I could actually see the minor deal. All right, St. Louis and all you wonderful people out there in Australia and Poland and England listening.
And North Dakota, we're pulling really well in
North Dakota right now. We have
the ratings up there in Fargo have been through the roof, baby.
North Dakota's through the roof, but that's because I'm Hondo. I'm with the Chunkendales. It's just like the Chippendales, but different, but I'm real big up north, so that's why a lot of people like to watch me.
You know, a lot of
gals named
Peggy. You know, a lot of bookings around Brookings, huh?
Right. Please come down and see us at Maggie O'Brien's, everybody. Thank you so much if you even listen to 2 minutes of this, much less the rest of this bullshit. We really appreciate it. Come see us at Maggie O'Brien's before or after any event. We look forward to seeing you. Jack Milliken, thank you kindly behind the cameras. And nothing but a gentleman. And ladies, I will show him eventually, but sure. I don't need a bunch of girls sitting around my table while I'm trying.
It's going to be like the Masked Singer. He comes out here in a squirrel costume singing Celine Dion.
You think I'm kidding? That one gal out there in North Dakota that's listening, if I show you what he looks like, we'll get six more people watching. So we look forward to seeing you. Thank you so much. Let's go St. Louis City.
Let's go St. Louis City.
And we'll see you at Maggie O'Brien soon. Thank you, guys.